Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
So joyous Lord's Day to us all, and I am so joyous, happy to see all of you, honestly. You know, at the beginning of John, the Gospel of John, he says, in the beginning, the Word was with God. Well, he actually quoted the Septuagint, and he copied exactly the first words of Genesis, in the beginning, when God began creating the heavens and the earth. You draw that parallel there. But we know, if we go back in time, we look at Genesis, and after God created the rest of creation, he created mankind and placed them in the Garden of Delights. And in this garden, they didn't need anything. And I want to make it very clear, Adam and Eve were planted in the garden. They were. They were planted in the garden. They were there to grow into the likeness of God. They were being given everything they ever needed to become like God. They didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to work. God just gave it to them. And then along comes Satan, or the evil one, or the deceiver, whatever you want to call him. And instead of doing what he was created to do, which was to help them, by the way, we talked about the Archangel Gabriel yesterday being a messenger. Well, there a lot of angels are there to help us. They're there to minister to us. Well, Satan didn't do that, right? He didn't minister to Adam and Eve. Instead, he tempted them and said, are you sure he said don't take that? Are you sure he said don't take that? And of course, they listened to him. And then we know how the rest went, right? And here we are today. Thanks, guys. But there's a really important thing that happened in that moment. He tempted them to do something they should have never done. They took the fruit. That fruit was going to be given to them at the right time, as was a tree from the fruit of life. It was going to be given to them. And the one thing that we don't do as Christians, if we don't take, we give. And we receive. And I'll notice, and we at the time of communion, what are we seeing? Receive ye the body and blood of Christ. And Father Isaac and I commune at the altar, we say, the precious body of our Lord Jesus Christ is given unto me. I do not take it. It is given to me. Because we recognize that the sin that they committed was they decided to try to circumvent their Lord and take it on their own. They're like, we don't need you. We're going to take from the knowledge of the fruit, the true fruit, the knowledge of good and evil. And in that moment, and this is the really interesting thing about that narrative in Genesis, is God gave them a chance to repent, and they didn't. You know, Eve blamed the snake, and Adam blamed his wife, and then he blamed God. He said, Lord, the woman you gave me made me do it. Let us not make that same mistake, right? So they were in this garden where everything they needed was being given to them, and they decided to be out of whatever fear, pride, anxiety, distrust of God. They didn't trust that God would actually take care of them. They was withholding something from them that they thought they deserved, and in that moment, they reached out and they took. And ever since then, we've had nothing but wars and theft and violence because people go around taking instead of giving. Then we fast forward. Christ is incarnate of a virgin. The pre-eternal logos, in the beginning was the Word became flesh. He walked among us, fully God, fully human. And we were reconciled with our master once again. We heard that in the epistle reading today. While we were still sinners, he loved us, and he brought us back to him in his son, Jesus Christ. We were reconciled. And then we find this really amazing thing. We find Christ right before his passion, where was he after the Last Supper? He was in a garden. We see Adam in garden again. He's back in the garden again, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he did something that Adam, the first Adam, by that word, Adam, is the same word, is Hebrew for humanity. It's the same word in Greek, anthropos, means all of humanity. When God became man, is that God, the Theos became anthropos. He did something that the first man didn't do. He didn't take. He gave. He laid there and in his torment, knowing what was coming, he cried out to the Father in his flesh, in humanity, fully human, crying out, God fully human, crying out to him, saying, Lord, if there be any way that you could pass this cup from my lips, please do it. And then he ended with this one prayer. Nevertheless, thy will be done. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve did not do. They never said, "Let thy will be done." Out of fear, anxiety, doubt, pride, whatever it was, I don't know. Maybe someday I'll get to ask them, "Why'd you do it?" They took. And so, just so you know, we are all born sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. And all of us here are scared. And out of pride and anxiety and fear, we want to take. We want to take. We want to reach out and grab whatever that is we think we want. Instead of trusting in God and knowing that He's going to give us every good thing that we need. As the gospel said today, consider the lilies. Just go outside and look in a field and say, what did they do to arrange themselves? Nothing. God gave them everything they needed. And you'll notice, again, lilies, a plant. And just so you know, at Pascha, we proclaim that the sword, the flaming sword, has been taken down and paradise has been opened back up to us again. Paradise is right here. It's right here, right now, because of Jesus Christ. And we have an opportunity to follow Christ instead of follow Adam and Eve. And to say, thy will be done. What you want be done. And I was thinking about, should I talk about the word will? There's a whole sermon just to, what does the word will mean? What does it mean to do his will? But in short, to really summarize and condense it and not do it justice, it just means, what does he desire? The will is the desire, for the most part. And that's really simplifying what the will is. And so we get up in the morning, we commit ourselves, and we see the two paths in front of us, the path of light and the path of darkness, the path of life and the path of death. And we say to ourselves, do I want to be like Adam and Eve? And do I want to go around just being freaking out and being anxious and nervous and taking and controlling and doing all these things? Or do I want to say all the time in my heart throughout the day, thy will be done. Thy will be done. And we make the sign of the cross, and we take our will, which is very broken. I always want other things. I'm always turning to other things. I always want to go over here. I want this. But by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we can kind of find harmony in our will, that we finally find ourselves focused on Christ, and our lives are completely for Him. Our lives are completely focused on Him. We completely trust in Him, and we say, Lord, if there's any way that you can take this thing from me, no matter what it is, this sickness, this family drama, this weakness, this financial trouble, whatever it is that is plaguing me, this grief, this anger, this lust, whatever it is, if you can take it from me, please take it from me. But thy will be done. There's not a single prayer. We have a lot of prayers in the Orthodox Church, don't we? I mean, we're rich, you know, it's like a banquet, you know, it's a cornucopia. But all of them are rooted in those words. Thy will be done. I want what you want. I want this situation to go how you want it to go. And show me how I can participate in that work. How do I walk with you? Ever since I was a young man, those words, Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the morning. And then later on, Enoch walked with God. And they talk about holy people, those who walk with God. Wherever they go, God is there. Because they're constantly inviting Him into that moment and saying, Lord, be present in this moment with me. Show me what you want. And if you don't make it very clear, I'm going to guess. And I'm just going to do it. And I'm going to trust and have faith that this is what you want. And so, some practical advice. How do we do this? It's a tall order. I'm sorry, forgive me. A lot of my sermons, I come out with these really tall orders, and you're like, Father Peter, come on. Just tell me to say some prayers in the morning. I can do that most of the time. Start with this, my friends. Make the sign of the cross. Never underestimate the power of the cross. Never underestimate the sign of the power of the cross that is in the sign of the cross. Take a deep breath, pause for a moment, reorient yourself, and just ask the Lord to help you trust in Him. It's that simple. Like this, I'll show you. Lord, you just help me to trust in you in this moment. And then go. Off to the races. Look back on your life too. You know, there's that old saying, God will not save you from the river, let you drown in the sea. Of course, talk about Moses, because Moses was taken out of the river, and then he got to the Red Sea, and he didn't drown. Look back on your life and see how God has been faithful to you. Think of all those times where you were full of worry and fret and fear, and yet God delivered you out of all of them. And use those moments, those memories that you have of those things in your life where you know God has been faithful, he's been righteous, he's been persistently with you throughout all of that. And draw off of those memories for the strength you need to face the trial you're in right now. And I guarantee you, all of you are in a trial right now. But me too. And I'm sure, I can't speak for Father Isaac, but if I had to guess, he probably has his own trial. We all have our own trials. None of us are immune. But use those memories to get through that trial, to trust in God, to make the sign of the cross, to take that deep breath, and to ask the Lord to help you to trust him. And if we can do this, if we can seek first the kingdom of God, as we were promised today by the words of Christ, if we can seek first the kingdom of God, then everything else will be given unto us. Paradise of delight is open unto us. Every good fruit, every good thing is offered to us if we just put God first. So, again, forgive me if I put this really difficult thing out there to do, but it's the right thing to do, and it's what we all need. It is the good and noble thing for us to do in our lives. So may God have mercy on us and send his Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to empower us to do these things that we cannot of our own will do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.